morning. The Bible lesson this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. It's on page 110 of the Bible in the pew in the New Testament. The large print Bible is on page 143. Hear these words. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward the heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God. The responsive psalm reading is Psalms 47 in page 781 in the hymnal. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great ruler over all the earth, who subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet, who chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom God loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our ruler, sing praises. For God is the ruler of all the earth. Sing praises with the psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God, who is highly exalted.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. It can be found on page 181 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or if you're using the large print edition, it's on page 234. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us now turn to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. It's in your Pew Bible, in the New Testament on page 85, and in the large print edition you'll find it on page 111. As is our new custom, let me ask you to rise as you are able for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Please rise. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. This story of the ascension of Jesus is probably pretty familiar stuff for most of us here this morning. But that familiarity is tricky, just as it was for the original followers of Jesus. Luke's description of the ascension starts with the story of Jesus showing up in the upper room in Jerusalem after he appeared to Cleopas and his buddy on the road to Emmaus, all on the same day of the resurrection. Think about that familiarity. Jesus had just spent 3 years with this man, walking around the countryside, doing signs and miracles, and teaching them about the kingdom of God and the need for repentance of sins. These followers didn't fully understand. They were not the sharpest tools in the toolbox. Remember the walk to Emmaus? And Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Well, likewise, Jesus also appeared to the rest of the disciples. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Well, this was all leading up to Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came dramatically upon them, and Jesus' followers were indeed clothed with power from on high. But my point about familiarity is this. These followers who had known and loved Jesus in the flesh for 3 years still didn't fully understand who he was and what his ministry was all about. Many of us here this morning have been Christians our whole lives, and yet, how many of us have not yet fully understood who is this Jesus, and what is the kingdom ministry in which we are being called to participate. I don't know about you, but I know that I have a long way to go in this understanding. I would truly love it if Jesus were here and would do for all of us what he did for those early followers. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. But isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised? A quick story to illustrate another part of this idea about familiarity. Driving along 6th Avenue this past week, I happened to look up a side street and I saw a small Church of Christ with one of those lighted signs out in front. This sign read, "We're still open between Easter and Christmas." I got a chuckle out of that too. We're still open between Easter and Christmas. Well, the obvious friendly jab they were making is to remind the sometime Christians that they ought to come to church more often than just at Easter and Christmas. But it also reminds all of us of that time period between Jesus' birth and his crucifixion and resurrection. The gospel stories that comprise our lectionary readings throughout the year cycle us through the life of Jesus, but the story continues to tell us about the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven and the ensuing work of the disciples throughout Acts and the epistles. Well, this moves us to an understanding of what I believe is the real significance of the ascension. As followers of Jesus, we are a people of a particular time, a time of already, but not yet. With Jesus' arrival on the earth, we had the advent of God's kingdom on the planet. Remember what John the Baptist preached? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Well, absolutely, yes. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven had appeared in the humanity and the divinity of Jesus the Christ. This was truly the beginning of God's kingdom on earth. The followers, the people of Jesus' time, knew that God had promised to ultimately bring about peace and justice to the earth, but his immediate followers were unsure of the timing. From today's reading from Acts, we have these words. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, we get the most important understanding of our location in time with the next verses that describe the ascension. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." These two men in white robes, these angels, these messengers of God, told them that Jesus had gone up to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and that eventually Jesus would return to earth, just as Scripture promises us in Revelation. At the end of time, at the parousia, the second coming, Jesus will return to bring a new heaven and a new earth into judgment and eternal life together with us in glory. The apostle saw the beginning of God's kingdom. In his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, Jesus had already paid for us the price and had conquered the power of sin and death once and for all people for all time. We are already saved, and yet we still await the completion, the fruition of God's kingdom, already, but not yet. So maybe The most important message for us to hear from God on this day of Ascension comes from that sign. We're still open between Easter and Christmas. Maybe our familiarity with the stories of the Bible has us too focused on the dramatic events, Christ's birth, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus, and the second coming of Christ. Have we lost sight of that time in between, that time of already, but not yet? Have we lost sight of that radical hospitality of Christ that welcomes all people, regardless of whether they only come to church on Easter and Christmas? Have we lost sight of our ministry, the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ? Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." My sisters and brothers, Jesus is calling each of us to witness to the salvation and the love of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit of God open your minds to understand the scriptures. May you listen and hear your calling from God. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen.